Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable before you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Greater than our wisdom is the title of my talk this morning. Greater than our wisdom. As I just said, I don't know if you understood that passage that Eva just read. Anybody, just a show of hand. You're not alone. I find it hard myself. So let's just start on that basis, that it is a rather difficult passage. But I understand the doxology bit, the, you know, where I was giving thanks. I'm not sure that Paul fully understood what he was talking about either. And there are moments in life when we look at what is happening all around us and we just fully don't understand what's happening. Have you been in one of those conversations with people where they're talking, but they're not talking. They're not making sense. Have you been in any of those conversations? Or maybe you are the one making that conversation where what they're trying to say without really saying so is, I've got no idea what is happening. Or what they're saying is, I don't know how we got here. Can you hear me at the back? Sometimes we make our plans. Sometimes we pray. Sometimes we try to do what is right. And yet sometimes life takes a turn when we least expect. Maybe a business that you wrote a very sound business proposal for suddenly collapsed. Maybe something you spent 3 days and three nights praying over still didn't go according to plan. Maybe a very promising relationship went south. Maybe a door that you were dead sure was an open door from God suddenly closed. And you left asking God, what are you doing? Where are you? Our first reading from the book of Genesis speaks into this kind of uncertainty with remarkable honesty and hope. If anyone had reasons to question the wisdom of God, I believe Joseph did. As a young man, in his teenage years, he had dreams. Dreams he believed were God-given dreams. He had dreams that he thought to be dreams of his future. But instead of those dreams being fulfilled, his life seemed to move in a completely different direction. From being the most beloved of his father, he found himself betrayed and thrown into a pit by his brother, who was supposed to be caring for him. As if that wasn't bad enough, they were debating over whether to kill him or not. And in their wisdom, they thought, actually, it may actually be better to make some quick money rather than killing him. Yeah, let's make a few bucks. They sold him into slavery, his own very brothers. In Egypt, while he was in slavery, he was sold into the house of Potiphar. As if slavery wasn't bad enough, he was then falsely accused and imprisoned. He seemed to be getting worse every time. If Joseph had tried to make sense of his life at those points, it would have been very difficult to see anything resembling a good plan, to resemble as if God was in the picture, was on the horizon. But after many years of ups and downs, for those of us who remember our Sunday school stories, Joseph eventually became a sort of prime minister in Egypt, next to the king. Joseph became the main man. So after years of all those betrayal and slavery and false accusation and imprisonment, promotion eventually came. Joseph had the enormous responsibility of saving Israel, Egypt, and by extension, the rest of the known world from famine and disaster. And then, after many years, those same brothers who sold him, they appeared before him. This time around, they couldn't recognize him. Of course, he had become a big man, a man of stature, a man of great influence and wealth. After a bit of drama back and forth, it's a long story, so we won't get into all of it. After a bit of drama, Joseph eventually revealed himself to his brothers. "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" he asked the brothers. And the room, as expected, went quiet. "You what?" At this time, Joseph had power, real power. He could do whatever he wanted to them. They were utterly at his mercy. He could choose to exact revenge. He could make them pay for the horrible things they did to him. He could have reminded them of the pit. He could have reminded them of the debates they were having over whether they should kill him or sell him off. He could remind them of all the trauma that their wickedness had cost him. Instead, Joseph wept and embraced them and said something extraordinary. He said, All these things were designed by God to make me save lives, because God, in His wisdom, sent me ahead of you. You must take a man of the Spirit, a man of great depth, to think that way. That was the way Joseph saw things at the end. That, yes, all these horrible things happened, but the real intention, the real purpose of all of this was a grand design by God to save your lives and to save the rest of the known world back then. Joseph was not saying that what his brothers did was right. Their actions were very cruel. Their betrayal must have cost him real trauma. But Joseph, by this stage of his life, had come to see the bigger picture. He had come to understand that, yes, there was a lot of evil, but evil did not have the final word. Evil did not have the final say over the situation. God had been working behind the scenes through all those horrible circumstances that Joseph found himself in, that Joseph could not understand when those things were happening. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the mysteries of faith. We often don't understand God's grand designs. We often understand His work backwards, in hindsight. When you're going through those tunnel of affliction sometimes, it's very difficult to even lift your head up. While we're having those difficult seasons, we may see just confusion. But sometimes, years later, when you look back, you suddenly realize that God all along was working in ways that you and I could not see. I'm reminded of a story of a young man who was traveling on a train. And you know, like all those cross-country train, say going from here to, say, Manchester or whatever, or going to France from London, something like that. And at a point, in the middle of nowhere, the train suddenly stopped, as in it stopped unexpectedly. All the passenger became restless. And you could have been on, maybe you've been on one of those journeys, and the complaints and moaning started happening. They were worried about missing maybe their connections and all the other things people moan about when they're on the train. And the young guy saw this elderly man who sat very calmly by the window. And he eventually said to him, "What's happened? Why are you so calm? Aren't you worried?" The elderly man, who happened to be a retired train driver, smiled and replied, "Well, I don't know why the train has stopped, but I'm sure the driver knows. I'm sure the driver knows why the train is stopped." There's something deeply comforting about that. Sometimes we find ourselves sitting in the middle of circumstances we cannot explain, where it seems life has stopped. The journey suddenly stops. But God always sees what we cannot see. He knows what lies beyond the next bend. And that brings us to that reading from Romans 11. In that passage, you notice a lot of rambling from Paul. He was literally wrestling with difficult questions about God's purposes, particularly God's dealings with Israel. He was trying to make sense of it. Talking of God's dealings with Israel and with the Gentiles. He was saying all sorts. It didn't make a lot of sense. And that doesn't matter. Because by the end of his argument, he recognized the limits of human understanding. And he suddenly bursted into praise. Oh, the depth of the riches of God's wisdom and understanding. Did you see that in your Bible? By verse 33 of that Romans, Romans chapter 11. Paul suddenly bursted into praise after all those other things he had written earlier. He acknowledged that there is a depth to the riches of God's wisdom and knowledge, and his wisdom, his understanding, his judgments are just unsearchable. They're beyond tracing out. And we all need to come to that stage where we can go over the pettiness of people's wickedness and meanness and how life is treated you and all that. I know that in all of those things, God is working his purposes. God is working his purposes, is working his will behind the scene. Joseph had come to that realization later in life. Brothers and sisters, there are some things that are just beyond our ability to comprehend. And that's what Paul was effectively saying. I've thought about this, I've wrestled with it, I've tried to understand it, but at the end, you know what, I'm just going to acknowledge that God's ways are beyond tracing out. His wisdom is beyond our comprehension. The depth of the riches of his wisdom and knowledge of God. His judgments are beyond searching out. His ways are beyond tracing out. We sometimes imagine that we would have greater peace if God explained everything to us. Just imagine God explaining to Joseph what would happen. He would never want to go through all that, would he? True peace does not come from always having all the answers or God explaining to us each step of the way. I suppose true peace comes from knowing and trusting God, who's got all the answers. Think about a small child. A child doesn't understand everything the parent does. Does he or she? No, they may not understand why they have to take that medicine that takes horrible, why bedtime comes when they really want to play, why mommy and daddy sometimes says no, but they can trust that their parents love them and mean well for them. In much the same way, our confidence in God should not rest on our ability to fully understand each step of the way that is set before us. Our confidence should rest in the knowledge that God is our Father and it means well for us. Joseph didn't know the plan when he was in the pit. He didn't know the plan when he was a slave. He didn't know the plan when he was in the prison. But God knew the plan all along. And eventually, after all those years, Joseph was able to look back and say, yes, I could not see it at the time, but now I understand that God sent me here for a reason. And because of that, he did not choose bitterness, he did not choose revenge, he did not choose aggression. Rather, he chose compassion and forgiveness and grace when he was faced with his wicked brothers. I think we all have one or two lessons to learn from this. The wisdom of God will always be greater than ours. His view is wider, his purposes are deeper, his timing is wiser. And even when the road is hidden from us, God is still with us. Paul ends that passage not with some theological explanation, but with an act of worship and submission, saying, for from God and through God and for him are all things, and to him be glory forever. Perhaps that is where all those monologues and questions in our hearts should be leading us, not to explanations, but to worship, to praise. When we don't fully comprehend what's going on, let's try to find it within ourselves, to still lift our hearts in praise and thanksgiving because we choose to trust God. So I'll end this talk by encouraging us to commit this Bible verse to our memory. You'll find it on your service sheet. The book of Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So that's our little assignment for this week. Let's try and commit it to memory, and then I'll ask her. Not just the children alone, including all the adults. Okay? I think it's a powerful verse for us all to hold on to. Amen. We now come to our offertory song. If you brought something and that you like to give during the service, we've got the contactless machine and the offertory box at the back. You've also got the QR code on your service. Thank you.
We're going to do a swap of songs. We're going to sing I Believe in Jesus. So I Believe in Jesus. Thank you. power to heal now, and the grace to forgive, and the grace to forgive. Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
You may be seated. Can I invite Dolly to lead us in a time of prayer?